The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower & Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center, with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I'm here today with Alan Rubin, Vice President of Marketing for Immix Group, immixgroup.com, I-M-M-I-X, and with Kevin P. Young, Management Consultant for AOC Key Solutions and an Adjunct Professor of Marketing at the Mason School of Business. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Kevin, you have not been here before, so introduce yourself, tell people what you do.
Well, good morning, Kevin Young. I've been in this market for 30 years, predominantly with IBM, Unisys, and SAIC as a federal contractor. I've also had the privilege of being a consultant to about four dozen different companies on go-to-market strategy and execution, and I'm in my eighth year at George Mason as an adjunct professor, teaching grad students as well as undergraduates on the fun of marketing.
Okay. Alan,
yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Mark. Alan Rubin, I'm Vice President of Marketing for Immix Group. Immix Group helps technology companies do business with the government. We are primarily seen in the marketplace as a value-added IT distributor, really the largest public sector distributor for enterprise technology products and services, or products and solutions in our marketplace. Recently purchased by Aero Electronics, and so we are the public sector arm of Aero. I've been in business-to-business marketing and sales for roughly 25 years or so. Been in Immix Group for about 7.5 years, and really heading up the marketing and market intelligence organizations there.
I remember when you came in.
Yep.
It was a breath of fresh air. Steve needed you. All right. So today's show, as you may guess, will be about marketing. I'm going to mention this a couple of times during the show, but November 19th?
November 19th, Government IT Sales Summit. We are hosting our second annual event in Reston, Virginia at the Reston Hyatt. And this is an event for anybody who sells or markets IT products and services to the government. Full day worth of information sharing, market intelligence, hearing from current and former government officials, industry leaders, just a great way to network, find out what's going on in the market. The theme this year is the new normal. We're talking about what is the new normal and how do technology companies and sales organizations navigate the new normal of continuing resolutions and budget cuts and political infighting and new contract changes and new technologies coming to market. So,
yeah, well, the normal, yes.
The normal.
Normal for DC,
yes.
Is that. All right, so let's talk about, you know, the go-to-market strategies here. You know, it's going to be depending on, number one, what you're trying to sell and what vehicles you have to sell it. But, you know, Kevin, start us off here. How do you, when you go into a client engagement, let's say it's a mid-sized company, 200 million, and they're focusing on integration services. What, you know, what's your generic advice, and then how do you tune it down?
Well, my generic advice is know what you don't know. And I work with companies, primarily B2B going to B2G or B2G companies that really haven't had any traction. And the first thing we really do is work backward. What are the objectives you're looking for in terms of growth? Are we going to reach that growth organically? Are we going to look at new markets and segments, new products and services? Are we going to look at partnerships? Or are we going to look at acquisitions? And once we kind of lay the land where we want to go in terms of growth, in terms of market share, in terms of revenue, in terms of margin, then we just start building out the plans. And I use a metaphor of a plans to a house. I'm the architect. I work with you on the plans to the house. I deliver the go-to-market strategy, which equates to the plans to the house. And then I work with the company in building that house, if you would. And really, there's about three different swim lanes I use. One is around business infrastructure, what kind of infrastructure a company needs to do business with the government, everything from compliance to security to being on GSA schedules to certifications and classifications. The second swim lane is brand image and promotion, which is your classic marketing. And the third swim lane is business development, because all companies have a fiduciary responsibility to make money. So business development obviously has to take a significant role. And we look at the different vehicles and channels needed to go to market and to help promote and sell and hand some very good quality leads over to the sales team. And finally, we go to market, or my advice and counsel related to going to market three ways: direct to the government through the schedules, GSA schedules, or through the federal contractors who already have prime positions or are looking to get on prime positions.
Okay. Alan, you bring in a lot of companies to the market. They go to a company like MX Group because they don't know the landscape. You represent Lord knows how many manufacturers
at this point. About 350 now, with Aero coming in and the federal side.
Okay. Fair number of yeah. companies. So let's say you're bringing in one of the Aero companies that has less experience in the market, you have one asset that most companies don't have. You have Steve Charles. His book is ideal for this. But he also teaches the best IT sales class in the market.
Sure.
So, but that's just one facet of it. So when you're mapping out a go-to-market strategy, are you looking, or I won't even ask that, how are you looking at this?
Well, I'd go back to what Kevin started with about knowing the marketplace and the value that a company like ours brings, and I think you hit it on the head. What's the infrastructure? Do you have the infrastructure in place? Do you know what's going on in the marketplace? And I think those are some of the things that you have to start with, and that's where a lot of our strategy starts, is talking with the technology company about their go-to-market strategy. Do they work through a channel? What contracts are they working through? One of the things we like to talk about is where their product set fits within the commercial space. And I teach some classes internally for some of our new employees. And one of the things that I talk about is the need to look at the public sector as much more of a horizontal market instead of a vertical market. And if you've got a product set that you're marketing or selling into healthcare or into transportation or into law firms or architecture firms, you've got a place within the federal government and certainly at the state and local level as well. You can bring those same products and services into those markets, but you have to look at the different aspects of the government in the same way you'd look at some of those. So I think where we see a lot of companies come in and they think, I'm going to sell to the federal government, I've got my one sales team, and we're going to take a one-size-fits-all federal government approach, and they're really leaving a lot of opportunity on the table when they do that, and they're not making the best use of their resources when they do that. So we try to bring them back to thinking about it from that perspective, thinking about where do their products and services align to a specific market segment commercially, what's been successful in solving those commercial customers' problems, and how do you then bring that over into the government market by looking at the contract vehicles and the budgets and the programs that are set up to address those same business issues.
Okay. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests are Kevin Young and Alan Rubin, and we'll be back after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark Amtower. Nobody else volunteered. I'm here with Kevin Young, marketing consultant for AOC Key Solutions, and Alan Rubin, the vice president of marketing of MX Group. Kevin, I don't know if you have a website or not, so I'm going to tell people to look for you on LinkedIn. Kevin P. Young on LinkedIn. And Alan, MX Group, IMMIX Group.com. You can also find Alan on LinkedIn. And I suggest you do both. So let's talk about some traditional marketing methods of still where everybody's hot on Web 2.0, content marketing, webinars, all this stuff. What traditional methods still have traction?
I think it, First of all, I'd answer that by saying it depends on how you define traction and how you define what works. And I think it's important to start any conversation or question like that by addressing that issue. We had a client recently who told us they absolutely positively wanted to do some brand awareness marketing. And when we asked about how they were going to measure the outcome and whether in 3 weeks they were going to be asking how many leads were generated from it, they said, well, of course, right? So that's not brand advertising, brand marketing, that's lead generation. So you got to start there. I think what we have seen is the more targeted, the more relevant to the audience that you're targeting, the better. So we have seen, I think, live events starting to come back. I think the trade shows are starting to pick up again. I wrote on our blog, Government Sales Insider.
One of the best blogs in the market.
Oh, thank you very much. Over the last couple of years, I had written several blog posts about where the event market was going. It used to be that's where you had to put a lot of your money. And then you had Las Vegas and you had all the other issues that had popped up, budget cuts, et cetera. And so we saw a huge shift away from that. Now we're starting to see those pop up again. Along the way, I think mobile and video have become more important, maybe not so much considering those traditional. We can talk about those a little bit more in the Web 2.0 arena. I think communities of interest, I've seen a lot more buzz about that, about getting together kind of the birds of a feather groups of government employees to talk about common issues. Content marketing, to me, remains a major, major element, and it has to be.
A lot of people think that's new. It's
really not. It's been around for a long time. It's maybe been called different things, but I think content marketing, third-party validation through PR, whether PR is considered the way PR used to be or kind of the new paradigms of PR, but I think getting the word out about who you are and what you do through people who can add credibility, and the events, webinars, those types of things that allow you to share information and have some level of interaction.
Well, you know, let's take one aspect of PR. If there's a significant story that breaks on, you know, hacking, and the next day there's a huge article in one of the trades on threat detection and prevention, and one person from one company is quoted in that article, that's validation.
Sure, absolutely.
So yeah, it does work. You know, if they're in the article and you're not, he's the expert or she's the expert.
And they're the ones you're going to want to call to do the follow-up, and that's where a lot of the business development interaction begins.
Yes. I get pissed when other marketing people are quoted and I'm not.
Right.
So. You know, we call that earned media, and my very first job in federal market was working with IBM as a press rep. Mm-hmm. You know, working with the trades as well as Wall Street Journal and Washington Post, and not only deflecting some issues such as GAO reports, but also trying to be proactive.
Right.
I wanted to comment a minute on the channels and vehicles. We talked about the traditional ones. When I teach, one of the core fundamentals of go-to-market is segmentation, targeting, and positioning. STP. I tell my students, just remember Stone Temple Pilots. But I
do they know them?
They probably do.
Or the motor oil. Wasn't there a motor
oil? Yeah, or the motor oil. I try to practice what I preach, and I do a lot of segmentation and targeting and positioning. So when I look to market to the federal contractors, I use a rifle versus a shotgun approach. I look at those that are new to the government, B2B companies coming over to the government, and I am able to follow them through SAM system. We further screen those by geography, by their size, by what products and services they're selling, because I can't boil the ocean. I have to be pretty much targeted. So new to the government is what I go after. I look at those federal contractors that just earned a position on an IDIQ, such as OASIS or upcoming on RS2. And finally, webinars, the old standard of webinars, especially those that are credited, you know, as a continuing education hour or so, those resonate very well with federal contractors. So those are the three key vehicles and channels that I've found effective.
Yeah, I would just add to that. I know, Mark, you were with me at the Market Connections event.
Yep.
Lisa Dizzuti and Monica Make and their survey that they put out every year. Just looking at some of the data from that on federal media and marketing usage, how people within the government, within the federal government in particular, are gaining information. They quoted webinar attendance being up significantly in the past 5 years, which, of course, I think you can attribute to the some of the travel restrictions and budget cuts.
Well, that and 5 years ago, webinars weren't really popular or very good.
Right. But and now the stat that they released was 5 years ago, or actually back in 2011, nearly half of their the people they surveyed said that they attended no webinars. This year, two-thirds said they've attended one to three in the last year. So you definitely see movement there. And in the same survey, they talked about event attendance going up from 42% to 55% that had attended at least one to three events in the last year. So I think you do see the events swinging back. I think you see an uptick in the webinars.
Yeah, I don't believe the events went away, but the larger events certainly were more difficult to get attendance for, so they became much smaller event, and Fossey died.
Absolutely.
So,
and what we saw there was a lot more traction with local events, a lot more traction with small, very targeted events. The tabletop events
yep.
became more successful, yeah. bringing things to the government customer as opposed to expecting them to come to an event.
Right, and our friend Pei Koski hosts events that are single topic focused, federal employees only, usually two or three sponsors, that's it.
Yep.
And it's 2.5 hours of real solid information on one topic.
Yeah, we do a number of programs with yeah. PEG and Husky Communications, and they've been very well attended and very well received. Great
yeah,
content.
And, you know, I got to moderate one of those, and it was absolutely cool. So, not yours, but a while back.
You mean ours wasn't cool?
No, no, I wasn't invited. So let's migrate over to the other Web 2.0. Alan, you mentioned mobile and video. We just relaunched, finally, my website, my company website, federaldirect.net, and it is now mobile-friendly. Before, it wasn't even, you know, desktop-friendly. But, you know, the video side, if you go to YouTube and type in Cisco, they probably have 3,000 videos up there. You guys have a library up there, but, you know, maybe not 3,000.
Not 3,000. Yeah. I don't quite have their marketing budget.
Well, there's that. maybe you could leverage it. I don't know. But, you know, what's the power of video for you?
Well, for me, I think there's a consumerization effect, and I think it's important for business-to-business marketers, business-to-government marketers, to look at their customers and prospects as consumers. The same kinds of information that people consume, the same ways they consume them, whether it be via their mobile phones, you know, going, I'll look at the market connection study again. They're saying that smartphone and tablet use is up to 90% in 2015 as a means of getting information on what's going on in the marketplace. That's up from 63% in 2012. So just like you and I spend, and like my children spend all of their time staring at a screen at home, you move from your desktop screen to your laptop screen to your tablet screen to your phone screen. It's the way people are consuming information. And I think video is a way that just allows you to hone down to a message, make it engaging, make it interesting, cut through a lot of the clutter. And I have seen a lot of very effective usage of video in that way, that people are taking things that would be otherwise maybe very dry and very boring, and they're injecting audio, they're injecting animation, just to make somebody more interested in watching it. And it allows you to also control that, you know, 2 to 3 minute clip, whatever it might be. We don't usually recommend going much longer than that. But it allows you to engage them for that period of time and really get a message across using multiple senses.
There you go.
Yeah, and we communicate three ways. We communicate by talking, we communicate by writing, and we communicate by body language. And a video really gives you that extra dimension where you could see people and you could see capabilities of a company, product, services, and the like. So it certainly has a great place. And is available 24/7, 7 days a week.
I think it's important in using something like video, and I would say this extends to any type of content marketing that you're doing, to make sure that your content that you're creating is not all about you. It's got to be about the customer. It's got to be about the customer's problems. I've seen so many very wonderfully produced videos where, you know, a nice looking person in a nice looking suit is sitting in a nice looking office talking about how wonderful they are. And I'm sure everybody in their building has watched it many times and really enjoyed it. But I'm going to guess not many people outside their building are paying any attention to it because it's not about them.
That's one of the big mistakes that a lot of companies make marketing, whether it's B2B, B2G, or B2C. They take an inside-out approach, which is the old Henry Ford approach. You want any color you can have as long as it's black. You got to take an outside-in approach. What does your customer need? What are their pain points? And how are you going to remedy those pain points?
Yeah, if you can't figure that out, watch Shark Tank once or twice, and you might be able to hone your pitch a bit. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I'm with Alan Rubin of Immix Group and Kevin P. Young, adjunct professor of marketing at George Mason University. I've heard of that school. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I'm here today with Kevin Young. I use the P. Kevin uses the P not because of anything other than it makes him more findable. So look him up on LinkedIn, Kevin P. Young, management consultant for AOC Key Solutions, and my friend Alan Rubin of Immix Group, where he is the VP of Marketing. Gentlemen, let's talk about this content thing for a while. Alan, you referenced that a variety of these things have been with us for a while. Mm-hmm. So what's been with us for a while and what works for you guys? Because when you go to, let me suggest that you go to immixgroup.com and click on the resources button, and you're going to see one boatload of things we're about to talk about.
I think content has become a bit of a catch-all for a lot of different things. You talk about what's been with us for a while, white papers, analyst reports, earned media, as Kevin said earlier, articles, PR, it could be a bit of anything. And obviously the last few years you've seen podcasts, you've seen videos. I think the way that I look at it is the medium doesn't really matter as much as the strength of the content and the way you approach the customer, the way you talk to the customer, the way you bring in elements of what the customer or the prospect really cares about. And that when you're doing it, you need to start with clean writing. You need to understand what your message is. You need to try to make sure you're thinking about what's going to be important to the customer in a way that also positions you well with that customer, and that you're thinking about how you can use any piece of content that you create in multiple formats. If you've got a mobile-friendly website, which you should have, you should make sure that people can easily access that content on mobile. You should be distributing it on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and whatever other media are important to your customers. You should be thinking about how you can leverage something that's written for one medium and can be easily converted into a webinar format or into a video format. Because I think you have to put yourself in the shoes of the customer and the consumer of the media. People like to consume information in different ways. I think that's been one of the major elements that has come out of Web 2.0 and the internet revolution over the last 20 years is there's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And some people like to read ebooks. I know those have been very popular. Some people like to download their white papers. Others want to see it in video. Others want to see it in animation. Some people like to listen to it in their car. So take that content, take those nuggets of what you want to communicate, figure out a way that they're going to resonate the best with your audience, and then think about ways that you can multi-purpose that information into multiple formats so your consumers of that information will have access to it in the way that they choose.
Well, something as simple as a white paper or case study can be a webinar and a podcast.
Or a video white paper.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you've got four or five pieces of stuff coming out of one chunk of information.
Well, I'm reminded of a quote by Tim Robinson, who was a CEO of AOL, when he gave Arianna Huffington a check for $315 million to buy the Huffington Post. And his quote was simple, content is king. Mm-hmm. We need content. And, content resonates. So I agree with what Alan said.
Yeah, and content creation is not cheap. It's not easy. To do it well and to do it right, you need to think through what you're trying to accomplish. You need to think through the goals. You need to think through the audience. So when you're going to make that investment, make sure you're stretching that investment and using the resources to reach the most people in the media that are going to be important to them.
I want to emphasize something you said right there, to do it well and to do it right. It is so easy to make bad content. And it's so easy to make good content bad by sticking that big, fat, ugly sales message at the end.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things, one of the mistakes that I have seen people make is they get a great idea and they talk about how they're going to produce this type of content. We're going to do regular, we're going to create a newsletter or we're going to create a blog. And they think through the first one or two posts and then they don't think about how they're going to sustain it. And how do you keep it going? How do you make sure that you're constantly feeding that beast? And that's why content development creation becomes so expensive and time consuming. You got to have people focused on it and you got to always be staying current or you're dropping money in the water and watching it sink.
Yeah.
So. No, I agree. I mean, and I know folks who run websites for a living, and you constantly have to have quality content, and the frequency is critical as well. You just can't let it atrophy because you're going to lose readers, and they're going to forget about you. And so you got to constantly, as you say, feed the beast.
Yeah, and I think there's ways to do that. One of the strategies that we have used is you do a two-tier approach where you have some evergreen content, and you intersperse that with very topical content. So you create something that you know is relevant today and will be relevant 6 months from now or a year from now. And then you try to intersperse that regularly, once a month, every other week, once a quarter, whatever is going to work with your own schedule, with what's topical and what's current, so that you're not constantly having to come up with something new all the time, but you've got things that you can multi-purpose and you can use without going back to the drawing board every week.
Right. And you know, topical. I waited probably a day and a half after the announcement, the press release came out that Arrow bought Immix. And I was waiting for the trade press to say something, and nobody did. So I did two posts on LinkedIn, and I got about 3,500 views on those posts because I thought I knew this was news. It wasn't going to be tsunami news, but it's important news for the market on how products and services are going to the market.
And we got, I don't know that we got 3,500, but we got a lot of calls and emails based on those articles. So people saw them and read them. And I think, again, that goes to the credibility of the content source, and it goes to bringing them a point of view. And we didn't really talk about that a lot, but when you're creating content, I think it's very important to have a point of view and not just regurgitate everything else that you've seen out there. You got to take a stand and you got to be careful about how you do it. But if, again, I would encourage every marketer to think back to how they read and consume information. If it's bland and boring, they're moving on to the next thing.
Yep.
And now I don't have to tell Mark the importance of taking a point of view.
I'm not going to give the name of this federal contract other than it's large, but they decided to have a blog. But the requirement was that anything that was written by our team had to go through legal. Well, you're not going to be able to post every day or even once a week when you're waiting on legal to opine on your blog because, you know, they consider it public information and public company. They needed at least to prove it. So that was a little bit difficult. So
And you're right. And there are hoops that bigger companies have to jump through to do content creation.
Especially
content
if you're public.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I understand that. But, you know, frankly, from my point of view, that leaves a lot of open ground for me and other, you know, smaller, especially consultants. You know, if you're a consultant out there and you do not have a blog, if you're not posting on LinkedIn, if you're not commenting in the groups, if you're not sharing information and curating content as you go along, you're losing market share. So let's talk about that side. I know this is big for Immix, and Kevin and I have discussed it multiple times over the years as well. How do you distribute content? You can have it up there and wait for the traffic.
Sure. I think again, I'd go back to you distribute it in the ways that you think will best reach your audience. If you've got an audience that is more focused on print, or they're more focused on going to live events, you look for speaking opportunities and you build those relationships with the editorial staffs and try to give them relevant content. If you've got an audience that you think is more mobile, more distributed workforce perhaps, or a younger audience perhaps, you need to be reaching them through mobile optimized content, through search engine optimized content. I think social networks are a huge component of that. And I think we've moved from 5-6 years ago, people in higher positions looking at this as just the playground of the kids. And now I think that has turned. And I think you see executives understanding the importance of social media and the need to distribute information through shared networks, if for no other reason, because it gives you exponential reach. It allows you to reach into so many people who otherwise would not see your information. It certainly allows you to get information to people in a more efficient way than email, based on the amount of spam that we all get in our inbox every day. I spend half of my day just clicking the junk button because I can't get away from it. And half of it I never even see. And I know that when I'm in a LinkedIn group, when I'm going to a specific online community or website that I've opted into, the content that's going to be reaching me is going to be reaching me because it's something I've said I'm interested in. And I think the one other area I will mention, because I think it's really critical, is social sharing and using a sales organization, if you're in marketing, to make sure that your sales teams are distributing your content. And the way that we have talked about it, and we train a lot of the people coming into Amex Group, is you need a LinkedIn account. You need to be following the blogs. You need to follow our blog. You need to get Federal News Radio's daily email. You should sign up for AmTower's blog. The more you see information that will be useful to your customer, and the more you can forward that information, even if it has nothing to do with you, it builds a relationship. And people start to think about you as the expert and the one that's on top of what's happening in the marketplace. And you're at the top of the list when it comes time to make a phone call. And I think for the sales teams, it's critical to build those relationships. And they have the ability to say, I know you're trying to address this problem. I just saw this blog post that we created, or this video we put out, or an article that was in GovExec today that addresses your problem. You really ought to take a look at this. And now all of a sudden, I'm helping you solve a problem and I'm not selling to you.
Yep.
I work for a company that used to send five letters to their customers every year. The first four were bills, and the fifth one was a holiday season card. And I remember telling them
For which they sent a bill.
And I remember saying, you know, you got to, when you do customer touches, it can't just be, here's the quarterly bill for your software licenses. You have to show thought leadership. You have to show the fact that you know what you're talking about, whether it's original content from you or you're pointing it from somewhere else. And that's critical. The other thing I want to say really quickly is, and this falls under the heading of market dynamics, is the Y generation that, you know, gets a lot of play, the millennials, in about 8-10 years from now are going to be our customers. Shocker. And they get information differently than previous generations. They disseminate information differently. They're all about technology.
They have shorter attention spans.
They have much shorter attention spans. And, you know, the traditional media isn't going to resonate with them. An ad in the Washington Post, for instance, isn't going to resonate with them. So you got to be cognizant of the fact that your customer base is changing. The Y generation is all about technology. The generation that's following it right now, being called the Z generation, is for the most part robots. I mean, they'll never even have a landline phone, the Z generation, or television. It's all going to be about technology. So you got to be, as a marketer, sensitive to the dynamics of your customer base.
Where are we going after Z, Kevin? Do we start at A again?
Probably alpha, beta, something like that.
All right. We're going to take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We will be back after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I'm here with Kevin Young, marketing consultant for AOC Key Solutions, and he teaches at Mason, and Alan Rubin, vice president of marketing at Immix Group, immixgroup.com. Again, we've been talking a lot about content. If you want examples of good content, go to immixgroup.com, click on the resources, and look at the variety of content you'll see there. You'll see the webinar. You'll see the white papers, you'll see the case studies, you'll see the blogs, you'll see the videos. And here's the trick. They're good examples, not bad examples. So everything in this market ties around the differentiation, because you can do great marketing, but unless you're separating yourself from the herd, you're simply one of a relatively large number of companies applying for the same thing. So, Kevin, I want to start with you on this. When you're bringing a company into the market, especially, you know, somebody with more generic type services, how do you get them to understand that differentiation is important?
Sometimes it's easy and sometimes it requires a wooden mallet, but companies have to differentiate themselves in order to be successful. You're either going to differentiate yourself on technology and innovation, or service and support, or maybe even the low price. However, if you're not differentiated, then you're what we call a Me Too player. And if you're a Me Too player, it's really hard to have real good positioning. It's really hard to have value propositions when you're just a Me Too player. So you try to hang, you know, your company on at least some very important differentiation. And that's one of the things I work with. If you're new to the federal government and you don't have much brand recognition, you're going to obviously have to invest in marketing and communications and brand and image and promotion to start getting brand awareness. If you're someone like an IBM or Rolls-Royce or General Electric that are federal contractors with very strong brand recognition, you don't need to invest as much. But the differentiation is critical, and brand recognition is certainly critical as well.
I would beg to differ, because we made a house call together once upon a time to a major manufacturer based in another country, and apparently some of the marketing people there knew what I was going to say, and they were waving me off, and I told the president, who was freshly delivered from home country, that over here your brand doesn't mean anything, not in the country, but to the government market, and we didn't get the gig, Kevin. You may
recall. We did not get the gig. I'm still trying to get the gig.
Sometimes the truth hurts.
Well, somebody had to tell them. And, you know, that's one of my jobs in the market. When the emperor's not wearing clothes, dressed or get out.
They're one of the top 5 or 10 consumer brands in the world. And they just thought they can come, you know, down 95 from their U.S. headquarters and put their stake up and their shingle up. But
after we finish the show, I'll tell you a story that's relevant. Alan, Immix was very early in developing the position of the value-added distributor in the market, the aggregator, if you will, not the size of an Arrow or an Ingram or Tech Data. But, you know, for our market, it became very apparent very early that Jeff and Steve and Art and the team were on a path to do what really needed to be done for the manufacturers. How did you guys start communicating these messages, and what role does differentiation play for you and your clients today?
I think differentiation is everything. If you're in marketing and you're not focused on differentiation, then you're just spending money. I don't know that you're really going to achieve much. It was interesting for us in the 7 or 8 years that I've been there, trying to position where we were within the marketplace. A lot of people like to put you in a box, right? You're either a VAR or you're a distributor or you're for us, an event company or a training company, because that was the door they dealt with us on, right? Some mm-hmm. companies, we looked like one or the other, a market intelligence organization. The challenge for us was to pull all of that together and say, yeah, we do all of these different things depending on what the customer's needs are and what they need to get from us and how they want to engage with us. And so it led to a differentiated story that had to be told through a number of different media. And making sure that it, I think a lot of it starts with internal focus, internal training, internal clarity around what is your message? How do you want to bring it to market? In the case of a smaller company like we were at the time, and you know, still small in the grand scheme of things, even though we're now owned by Aero, which is a Fortune 131 company, in our market, you have to cut through a lot of clutter. There's a lot of companies that claim to do the same thing. And we found it important to really define who we were by showing people, by being out in the market, by hosting events, by putting market intelligence briefings together, by being a lead in terms of contract management, lead generation, the kinds of things that we saw as differentiators for our business. We had to not just talk about them, but we had to show them. We had to bring people in to experience it. That's one of the reasons we do our Government IT Sales Summit, because it's an opportunity to showcase all the different things that we do, and you see those things come to life. So it's not just talking about why you're different. It's figuring out what your differentiators are, making sure that everybody who picks up a phone or everybody who goes to an event or everybody who sits on site with a client or a customer can talk to those differentiators and can do so in a way that is tailored to a specific audience. You know, you have a different message to the government than you do to the channel partner community or the manufacturer community. So if you've got those things and then you're creating content that reinforces those messages, then you've got a differentiated story to tell.
Yeah.
Two quick things on that. As I tell my clients and I tell my grad students, if you're not differentiated, then you become a commodity. If you become a commodity in your particular segment of the market, then you're competing on price. And, you know, who wants to be out there just worrying about price? The second thing is, and this is true in any business, a standing still means you're losing ground. You constantly have to be inventing or reinventing yourself and your products and your services. If you took a plane up to Rochester, New York today, and you went to the corporate headquarters of Eastman Kodak, you know what you would find there? You would find a Harris sign, because Eastman Kodak missed the whole digital revolution. They stood still. They bet wrong. And, you know, today, well, where they were,
it was Harris. The ostrich approach, so yeah. Stick your head in the sand and wait for the circle to go back to them, but circle didn't go back to them.
Right.
So, but you know, very quickly, Kevin, for people like you and me, we have to differentiate as well. And at this point, one of my differentiators is longevity. I've been doing this for 31 years as Amtower and Company. I've had mercifully sustained visibility in the market for well over 20 of those years through content production and sharing and speaking. And that's one thing we didn't talk about really is speaking.
Speaking, but absolutely.
It's important, mm-hmm. but it's unless you record or shoot or whatever, that there's not a lot of residual.
Right.
So, and people aren't going to remember you, you know, 2 days later.
Right. Well, and I think that also goes back to the idea of nobody wants to hear you speak about you or about your product set. You've got to talk about what the customer's problems are and how they can be solved.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, staying current on the market conditions, reshaping your position predicated on how your niche is morphing. If you're into, you know, networks and you haven't gotten into network security, if you just want to lay wires, that's great. Somebody's got to do it. But it's not a real differentiator.
One of the things that we like to tell a lot of the clients and channel partners we work with that's great about this market is the information that you need to be relevant to your customer base is out there if you just know where to look and you take the time. It's publicly available information. You've got high-level people in government standing up in front of rooms and speaking about it all the time. You can go to the Exhibit 53s, the Exhibit 300s, the IT dashboards, the tools like GovWin. There's so much information out there that can help you target your message and be more relevant and differentiate, because you're talking to what the customer needs to hear.
Yep.
And you have to have the resources and the wherewithal and the patience to find that information. I'm fortunate I've got a market intelligence team that does that. But the information's there. Use it. Use it to differentiate and to show where you fit in.
My late father taught me two things that resonated. One was how to play poker, but the other one, when he was in the Air Force in World War II, is if you're shooting in front of an enemy aircraft, you shoot in front of it and let the plane hit your ammo. And the same holds true in marketing. You shoot in front of the market. You try to project. You try to understand through primary, secondary research, by talking with your clients, by talking with industry influencers such as you, Mark. You try to understand where the market is going. Because if you shoot at that plane, you're going to miss, because by the time your ammo gets there, the plane will be gone. So you try to shoot in front of your market. You see the guy from Facebook. He certainly shot in front of his market. He wanted a networking capability for college kids, and now he's got 1.5 billion users. So you just shoot in front of your market, and hopefully you win.
There you go. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me today. This is not my day job. If you need help on the marketing side, Kevin and I can both help you. But if you want education for your staff, my Government Market Master Program runs seminars twice a month in Columbia, Maryland. We cover all aspects of marketing to the government. You can find information at federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.